Welcome to Windows into Eternity with Almeen. This hour you will receive powerful revelations of a world where mystery and miracles are commonplace. Here's your host, Almeen.
Show tonight. We are delighted that you could join us. And Paul St. John is with us, and I'm very pleased to have him. He's going to be taking off for Canada here one of these days, and so these are precious times to have him with us for a few last times. Paul, thank you for being here and for the questions you've prepared, and we're ready to go.
All right. Well, Almeen, I wanted to start with a question about people and channeling their own sigils or bringing in their own sigils. I know that often attending one of your classes really kickstarts people's ability to bring in the languages of other kingdoms of beings, and there's a lot of really profound information in that in those languages they bring in. And I was just wondering if it's different when people start receiving sigils, particularly sigils that might be for the healing modality Valvaspata. Could you speak about that happening and what your advice might be?
Yes. Firstly, we need to possibly tell folks that sigils are different than symbols, and we've given very detailed discussions on that in most of our books. Certainly,
yes.
In Ring of Truth, in Journey to the Heart of God, and so on.
And
a sigil is like a little road map, right?
Yes.
Which one?
And in some of the earlier radio shows, you've spoken quite at length about sigils.
Okay, so we know that sigil, and the sigil contains awareness. In other words, awareness particles are very dense in a sigil. That's what makes it holy. And you know, I think we also mentioned earlier that in one of the classes, one of the masters received a personal sigil from the mother and tried to put it through her fax machine. It wouldn't, you know, to copy it, and it wouldn't copy. And then finally, she scanned it into her computer. And when she tried to print this sigil out, over 1,300 or so pages of computer language spewed out, not one page identical to the previous one. But she couldn't do it. These sigils are remarkable. And so when you receive a sigil for yourself, that might be something that you see in front of you. It might be something that you dream. It's not something that you're just going to make up. It will definitely appear there. However, there are sigils and there are sigils. When Mother gives someone a sigil, what that means is that they have rendered extraordinary service to the cosmos. Because the sigil is a sigil for meaning, not just for your name. Otherwise, everybody with the same name would have the same sigil. That sigil says that you have accomplished on behalf of the cosmos such and such. So it's like a badge of honor, but it's more than that, in that it is a power object. You know, I have a very beautiful brother that's a chemistry professor in Denmark and a complete immortal master. Well, when he goes to his classes, he has a sigil that he takes with him because it produces students that want to learn, and those that don't leave very rapidly. It brings power to intent to reveal the perfection of your life. So there, you know, the ones that Mother will in fact give you are in her language. And it's the same language that the sigils in the healing modality Valvaspata, and I believe we now have a page on our website that is newly constructed that gives you information about Valvaspata, so you can see Mother's language. The sigils will come in Mother's language. They're different, because if Mother gives you one in her language, it's going to be quite rare, but it will be because you've done a tremendous thing for the cosmos. For Valvaspata, bringing in your own sigils is not a good idea. Example, I asked mother for a sigil for cancer. I've asked mother for a sigil for cancer close to 2 years now and was told no, 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 because the principle underlying it is not fully understood. It was only when I understood about zero-point energy that I understood how cancer is really manifested as a frequency in a body. And only then did mother give the cancer sigil, and our Russian sister Irina has written, you know, she's a grandmaster in Belvaspata, that the people the sigil for the cancer, her cancer patients no longer have cancer. So we've had very good feedback from that, but it took me 2 years to get that sigil. So it's not a good idea for people to do, as Belvaspital practitioners, to start getting their own sigils. Those will come through a very direct channel, and it will be coming from the goddess directly. By all means, if you get sigils for other things in your life, but if everybody starts getting sigils, it starts to dilute the frequency of the healing modality itself. It would be like, you know, former masters in other healing modalities just producing their own sigils willy-nilly all over the world. It dilutes the power of the modality.
I see. And I understand that if someone receives a symbol, it's not necessarily understood what context that symbol's for. Like, it could be, for example, a sigil just for that day, or for that particular person.
Well, thank you for reminding me, because this is the other thing. The cosmos made a dramatic shift, huge, since yesterday. I notice everything is different. My voice is different. You know, I don't know if folks will be able to catch it up, but all of us have shifted. I mean, my little girl through the night went through such massive shifts that she was chilled to the bone, which is often the case when energy flows. I put a hot water bottle by her little feet, on her tummy, everywhere to get her to be warm. Huge, massive cosmic shift. So from yesterday to today, something received by a person yesterday will not be the same today. Holy objects of yesterday may not be the same today. There's an exception to that, and those are the ones that come directly from Mother, because she programs them to increase in awareness and consciousness as the cosmos moves up, so they always stay holy and effective and powerful.
So have all the sigils that you've given in your books, for example, the sigils for the states of being and for the emotional frequencies, have they been programmed in that way so that they always will remain the same?
They will always remain the same, yes.
Wow. Well, that's great. I mean, thank you for sharing that. And actually that
Can I say something?
Yes.
You know, recently on the 12 pure emotional pairs that people internalize, and
yes,
you can find it on the Belvaspital website, I believe.
Yes, you can.
You know, I wondered how strongly they're still applicable in life, or did Mother just sort of bring them forward because she put in the laws of reality that they will stay. But then I was given a piece of writing that came out of the libraries of the unicorns. And in that piece of writing, there was from ancient times, a recorded conversation between Mother and Father. And in there, Father asks Mother to help him become more stable in his matrix, because he had instability of emotions and so on. And she actually created a matrix for Father that came from, that had as part of it, the 12 pure pairs of emotions.
Wow.
That's how ancient those frequencies are, and their holiness continues to be.
Wow. And does that apply as well for the states of being? I know that's something that came a little bit later. Or
yes, they all have remained absolute pure frequencies, and
wow,
their sigils grow as the cosmos grows.
That's incredible. And Almeen, I know that in the past, one of the ways, at least, that I believe the way that Mother made that happen was she wrote their holiness and their changeability into the Book of Life. At least I think that's how it occurred. And I know recently something quite huge has changed with the Book of Life. Would you be able to speak about that change and perhaps how differently Mother goes about keeping something as a holy object or a sigil as the cosmos changes?
First of all, the Book of Life, for those folks that are new to this concept, can be found in Revelations in the Bible, where it is spoken and said that those whose names do not regularly, do not appear in the Book of Life, shall not survive the times of purging. Those times of purging have come and gone. And what has happened is that those who were not found to be life-enhancing enough, their names were not written in the Book of Life, and what is in the Book of Life creates reality. So they cease to be real, and so they cease to be. So we lost races and so on that were non-life enhancing all over the cosmos. The Book of Life has determined reality. But what is reality? Reality is one cell of Mother's body as a projector, and the cosmos with all our individuations, some of, you know, life for each individuation has some freedom of choice, but the movie screen that this projector is projecting onto is really what is for us reality. And Mother has had the Book of Life that has determined how the movie screen should be behaving. In other words, it determined the rules of the game going on the movie screen. But a week or two ago, Mother, waking up slowly from having deliberately put parts of herself to sleep so that she could gather her children and bring them out of creation into something more real, bringing them off of that movie screen. Amongst others, that's what she did. But the point is that as she awakened, she remembered that it's pointless for her to try and change the movie screen. She needs to change the projector. And before that, the movie that goes through that projector. So the Book of Life has been an attempt to bring order to the chaotic movie on the screen. And
like writing
she finally... Yes. So she finally brought the laws of existence back to the projector itself. And just on time, because what happened last night is that instead of reality being the projection of one cell, the matrix that has been imprisoning us burst open. And the much, much more of Mother's body now is projecting reality. Meaning that that imprisonment that we've been feeling, these last weeks have been very, very hard for light workers. They have felt imprisoned. I felt myself waking up in the mornings and going, oh no, I don't want to be in this reality. And suddenly it's gone. It's burst open. It's like a prison that's burst open. So, I mean, the Book of Life was for that prison. Now what is there is the Book of the One Life. If Mother sees something in her creation that she wants to change, she changes it within herself. If Mother sees something in creation she wants to remain as holy, she creates it in herself. The sigils for Belvas Ptah are first and foremost placed inside Mother's body. Because of that, they are holy.
Wow.
And you can see how far the difference is between that and producing one ourselves, you know?
Oh, yeah. It's unimaginable, immensity of that difference. It's wow. Thank you, Amin, for sharing that. So does that mean that there's been a change in the degree to which at some point you've given rough ratios between inevitability and manifestation, how much those two polarities determine our reality? And would you say that the degree to which one or the other determines our reality has changed with these?
Paul, because it only happened in the night, and massive changes again happened this morning.
Mm-hmm.
In that not only did we open to the other cells, but the cell itself enlarged as a field superimposed over other cells within mother's body. The one cell that's been individuating within itself is now superimposed over the other cells of mother's body. It's very new.
Right.
And I don't know how profoundly it has affected life. For me to answer that, I would have to ask mother. Which I certainly can do, if you want me to do that.
Well, we can either take a commercial break now and tackle that after, or...
Okay, let's do that.
Okay.
In this, the fourth book, The Ring of Truth, which chronicles Almaine's journey, she tells of the promise and the potential inherent in the resurgence of the feminine principle, increasingly felt in all aspects of current human experience. The operation of new laws governing the cosmos are explained together with the reasons for their creation. We are introduced to Mother, the primal creative energy that pervades every aspect of existence. We learn of her love and her laws and how to incorporate them into every thought and act. We are given samples of her divine language, its meaning, and its power. Mother's great gift to humanity, the healing power of Belvaspada, is revealed. This new approach to dissolving disease of mind, spirit, and body replaces previously existing methodologies. Application of its techniques removes old barriers of physically oriented existence and opens a broad pathway to a life of joy and fulfillment. Discover Mother and the Ring of Truth, as well as all of Almaine's books, CDs, lectures, workshops, or magazine by logging on to www.spiritualjourneys.com. The Complete Power Of and the Mystical Keys series of radio programs are a part of the premier CD set. They are available from Almaine at www.spiritualjourneys.com. Request the entire premier CD series set or the new book, Aruba Farina, The Book of Fairy Magic, by calling 502-499-0016 today.
Welcome back. And Paul, I'm afraid I am so expanded today that I can hardly retain what my name is from moment to moment. So could you please just explain one more time what you want me to ask Mother before I do that, please?
Sure. It's a little bit of a broad question, but the way I framed it was, how has reality changed with the changes that have occurred last night and this morning? How would that day affect the way that inevitability and manifestation interrelate at one point?
Okay.
Earlier
and
on.
Then if we can explain to our listeners that inevitability and manifestation means how much of your life you can personally write the script of and how much of the script of your life is part of the bigger play of the cosmos, and what is the percentage of that? And my answer in our previous segment was that I absolutely don't know. It happened overnight, last night, and so right now, I'm going to ask Mother what it is that she will answer me in her language, and then I will interpret it for us. So, Mother is saying, Oshkiach makiegiena usuite, asakiha yenesh, pasku uhikiana, pakoikirihiana shkatach, inechvesatu uvishkaya, ihnakia pa uhno uvie, sertikiakia na ushutoyeva as, nespiakia, tohnukoyeve eye, isharkayete ine isha, sukoyevi shistar na ma usutu, bisyokone eveye, parkayevi chukoye ete ine ivia, kayak na mako uyo, kushiata na asahya, vihiakabatu ufushi na maaya. Well, okay, Mother is saying that the experiential wisdom that has been gathered by her one cell creating the reality we know as the cosmos, the, sorry, I can't remember very well what she said, just a moment, Mother, sorry, what, Kiyokoi chi a animisyokoi ia. Kiyakava to oneshve skartava unush vastava ar. Mother is saying that of all the cells of her body, only one cell has gathered what is most precious, which is the experiential wisdom. Mother says that it is a lot like the movie you watched last night at your house. So, Paul, what movie did you watch last night at your house?
Enchanted.
Okay, because Mother
says... I loved that movie.
Okay.
I loved it. It was great.
Revealing your deep dark secrets here while visiting Enchanted, spoken like a master. Mother says the movie that you watched last night at your house, the rest of the cells is like the cartoon world of total innocence. It's infantile. She says that emergence from the manhole of a character from the Disney stories into New York or wherever, it's experiential wisdom. She says our reality, although it has been undesirably hard for most because of our resistance to life, is nevertheless that which produced experiential wisdom. She said that innocence without experiential wisdom is naivete. So she says the other cells have, as this one cell of her created, it like burst open in a supernova and created a field superimposed over all Mother's other cells. What this has done is brought experiential wisdom to every other cell. They are bringing their innocence and purity to our cell's reality. So she says life has exponentially been purified. Now, Mother says she's giving me this in pieces because my memory is not too good today. So now comes the next piece. Shkoyhiyah namo kutihne savakacha kufihi amahnasa. The laws of the one cell that have been established through experiential wisdom. Kyokohiyah namashtehne vistabakata ihyakata unush. Remain the same and have now been superimposed over all of the other cells. Shukuhi hakne ite abakuhina mahayash sahvete nu ushayata setakana maushu. Mother is saying that the ratio of what we determine with our world and what is established as part of the big picture and the threads within the weaving has to take place is at the present moment 50% freedom of choice and 50% determination of the big picture. Does that answer that?
Yes, it does.
Okay.
Thank you, Amin. That's wonderful. I really like the analogy with the movie because that's exactly how it felt last night when I was watching it, that relationship was happening, where the exchange of wisdom for that purity and innocence, it's quite a beautiful exchange.
And, Paul, the interesting thing is, sorry, Mother is saying something more, just a second. She says, light workers, including yourselves, have yearned for the place of peace and rest and innocence, not understanding the beauty of the life that has had struggle and its great contribution of experiential wisdom. Mother says that light workers that have come from higher levels often yearn for that innocence where they don't have to work too hard or do too much of this or that. They can just be. And she says that that is not a state in which experiential wisdom is produced, that it has to be produced by opposition is gone, but that it can be produced through humor, through mutual support. That is very much the case.
Wow. Well, I think a lot of light workers are going to be very happy to hear that, that we can still produce experiential wisdom, but not through opposition, through humor and support. That's
Yes. Very
exciting, and I mean that's what your work is all about, right? A whole new paradigm of growth, as opposed to
it changes every day.
Yes. Well, I mean, actually, I was wondering how that played a little bit on some older methods of self development and self-growth, like alchemy, for instance. I know it's been mentioned that alchemy hasn't been working for people the same way as it used to. I was wondering if you had any comments you wanted to share about that.
There have been major changes that have happened, and we've actually done little video clips on these. That will be on YouTube and iTunes and so on. But, you know, that will explore it a little bit better if they want to take a look at it. But what has happened is that the building blocks of existence have changed. And they have been metamorphosing and metamorphosing and metamorphosing. Yet again in the night, I suspect that there has been a metamorphosing of the building blocks of existence. And, you know, we should have asked Mother that because it's stuff that I haven't yet accessed. In fact, let's just ask her. But if building blocks change, alchemy works with those building blocks, then it will not work. So, and that has been metamorphosing during the first months of 2008. So let's just ask Mother about this. She says, yes, indeed, the building blocks of life yet again changed in the night. She says, previously they consisted of two spheres combined with three smaller ones, so that there was a cluster of five spheres at the very subatomic level. She says that in the night they became one sphere. And Mother says, Biokoyeshta Hine Esve Eskahacha Shkuavivika Anach. The libraries that have been opening piece by piece have represented my mind and my heart awakening bit by bit. In order to focus on the one cell of my body alone, most of my mind has had to disconnect from that part which interprets awareness, which is similar to a coma. it woke up bit by bit. Kihuchiachnamaushu, as it did, the libraries did too. Pachnehbe, Ashva, Husvakata. Now the remaining libraries all shall be opened and accessible. There is much work to do. And, you know, as you know, I have to translate bits out of every library to anchor it into the physical. And if what mother is saying, we have got 20 plus 33 plus 54 plus 8 libraries that opened in the night.
Just in a night? Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Wow. And there were already quite a few opening before. I couldn't even keep track before.
Exactly. And every day I had to write something that was an interpretation of something in the libraries.
Wow.
Let's take a quick commercial break. We'll be right back.
A Life in Miracles is a deeply inspiring and motivational book in its content. It is unique in its field in making man's relationship as the microcosm to the macrocosm understandable to both beginning and advanced readers. It's a detailed guide to living a joyous and balanced life that provides a carefully laid out map to achieving the magnificent destiny that beckons at the apex of human experience, that of ascension. If you're ready to ascend to a higher consciousness, begin each day with A Life of Miracles or any other books, CDs, lectures, workshops, or her magazine by contacting Al Mean at www.spiritualjourneys.com. The brand new book, The Gift of the Unicorns, is now available from Al Mean. The magical book answers a question: do mystical creatures like the winged horse Pegasus, mermaids, and giants truly exist? What is their roles, and how can they be called upon for assistance? In their own words, the unicorns reveal where they went during the ages of darkness, their heroism in preserving purity and innocence, their golden shoes, and the secret mission they undertook for the mother of all creation. To receive your copy of this amazing book of sacred secrets, The Gift of the Unicorns, go to www.spiritualjourneys.com or call 502-499-0016 today.
Welcome back to our listeners, and thank you for being with us today. And Paul, which area did you want us to look at next?
Well, we finished off in the last section of the show speaking about the building blocks of existence. And in case people haven't listened to some of the earlier shows, those building blocks are, at least they were, expressions like of power or life force or energy or awareness. And I was wondering if you could talk a little bit more about what those are. Now, they might have changed from last night, but maybe you could share, to the best of your knowledge, what those sorts of building blocks are. And we could start maybe with power.
Okay, let's do that. Well, you know, if we interpret what Mother has said correctly, I mean, if this is the correct interpretation of what she's just said to us, it sounds like, say there were multiple blocks that created power, energy, life force, awareness, you know, light, love, perception, these sorts of things, that they would still have the same function. The function would still be there, even though all those blocks of existence are pulled into one single sphere. The functions will still stay the same because that's the gifts they bring in the union. You know, if the macrocosm is that way, the microcosm will also be that way. So, you know, speaking in quantum physics or speaking about the metaphysics of the cosmos, it's going to be the same. So let's take a look at what he's asking. Let's think of Mother as chef. if for those of you that have read my books or some of the other Toltec Nahuas works earlier, you will know that an assemblage point is a ball of light that has traditionally been, because that changed recently, on the outer edge of the fields around the body, and its position determines reality. Well, its position in mother determines what recipe is going to be cooked. What is the type of movie that's going to be on the screen? So that's the recipe determiner. She is the chef. And any moment she can change the recipe if she needs to. Well, the recipe that she's making is soup. Then there's vegetable broth in the pot. And what that is a unified field containing power, energy, awareness, life force, for instance, you know, and so forth. Perception, self-perception, light, love. Those things are part of what makes that vegetable broth. In that vegetable broth, there are cut up vegetable chunks, carrots, peas, corn, whatever you want to put in there. And those are the building blocks of existence, including the building block that we're familiar with, which are the subatomic particles that you can call the particles of physicality. And they produce experiential wisdom as part of the stock. The broth, vegetable broth, comes from vegetables that you've cooked. And when you save the water that the vegetables have been cooked in, or you can even puree some of the vegetables into water, and you end up with a broth. So in other words, those fields are produced by the vegetables. It's a little more tricky like that in that they also precede the vegetables. What's in the broth has already been there. Then the vegetables form from it, and then from the vegetables, again, it is released. So, but let's just say for a second that those things like that field is the broth, and it's produced by cooking vegetables, and then there are actual vegetable chunks in there that are the building blocks. Let's take the building block that we had, which is now might be a different form, but the function is still there, the building block that used to be called perception particles. Because the vegetables in the soup, each vegetable had a higher octave at which it functioned. And it is literally what created different realms. Because some of the vegetables would be more prevalent in one realm, and it would put that realm at a specific octave on the piano, and then, and so forth. The highest octave you can find are presence particles. The second highest octave you can find, if material life is the lowest, would be cosmic life force. And they're particles, they're vegetables, and they produce energy. The presence particles produce power. Now, what the function of the presence particles have been ties in with your earlier question about inevitability, in that it holds the pattern. There is a big script written, a big purpose that life is exploring. That pattern, that template of existence, is held by that specific particle, presence particles. We've used this analogy before on some of the earlier shows, but if you have a cardboard round and you put your metal shavings on it, on the back of a glass, and you make a tuning fork go against that glass, it will make a specific pattern. A different tuning fork will make another pattern. The pattern changes based on the frequency that is present. Presence particles had frequency components. What that frequency sang as its song determined the pattern of existence. It tied up so much power holding that pattern. To release that power, the pattern had to change from a lower pattern that contained more power to keep, because the lower the pattern, the more illusion or the more less perception is in a pattern, the more power it holds. As you shift it to a higher pattern, it will release power to its environment because it no longer needs it to be tied up to an old pattern. In other words, shifting upwards in perception makes higher and higher frequency, makes a higher and higher pattern, and it releases the power that it no longer needs. It's a source of power. And you know, Paul, remember, I think you and I spoke about it on one of the earlier shows, how if you ask me to take any person off the street and in 1 hour to make them leave my house with more power than they came in, the way that I would do it is to increase their perception. Remember, didn't we use that?
Yes, we did, one of the very early shows.
Yes. Well, that's how. Because they would have more power at their disposal, because what I had to do to get that to accomplish is I had to make them see one thing about life or themselves or people in their environment that they didn't see before. If I can do that in 1 hour, that they could truly get it, everything inside shifts to a higher pattern. Energy is released and is now there for them to use. That's how that works.
That's quite an incredible process, actually. I experience it quite frequently working here.
Yes, but change happens very frequently here. Not many people can stand it, so, you know, congratulations.
Thank you, Helmi. So how do these subtler particles relate to the physical quantum particles that modern science has discovered and to some extent is exploring?
Well, there's a couple of secrets around that. One is that life originated from the material. Something I could never in a million years have figured out if I'd just done it all by myself. The physical particles is where all the other particles originated from. How? I don't know. But the physical mother, now mother's physicality, is not made from building blocks that we had just mentioned. The chef is not in the soup, but she is nevertheless physical enough that if we could stand her glory, we could, for instance, touch her and hug her. It would be that physical, but it is not made from what we are made of, because she is what made us. She's the originator of the building blocks. She's not made from the building blocks. But life originated. The fields, the vastness of space, all of it is just a reflection from mother's physical self. In the same way, at the quantum physics level, the other building blocks originally were created by the physical. That much I know. How? I didn't ever get to explore, because just as I became aware of all these other building blocks of existence at the different octaves, life started to metamorphose at the very basic level, and of course that happened also at the large level then, but it started to change. So what happened is all other particles, other than the material particles that we can know as subatomic particles, they all merged into one particle. It had three spheres to it, and it was called the omniparticle. And the omniparticle and the physical particle were then the only two building blocks in existence. But that changed also. Because they weren't properly communicating, Mother created omniparticles and put them into the physical particle, which consisted of two spheres, so that it ended up with five spheres. Because an omniparticle was attached to the physical particle so that it could better communicate with the omniparticles that were out there without their physical components. And so what happened then is that Mother created physical components for them as well. So we ended up with a uniform building block of existence that consisted of the five spheres, the omniparticle combined with the physical particle. Last night, all these spheres pulled into one sphere. As Mother's one sweat cell became a field superimposed over all her other cells.
Wow.
So everything changed in the night, and yet again, the building blocks metamorphosed.
Wow. So do you think that now with this omniparticle inside, as an inherent part of this, of the physical particles of reality, do you think that scientists out there might sometime soon discover smaller or some other unknown part of physical particles that we've known about?
You know, I don't know whether they will discover it or not, because life seems very unmovable to us from our perception. People are still going to work. There still seems to be car accidents. Where's all this big change that we're talking about? There is something about the physical life seeing the changes that still has not quite been solved. So the rest of creation will be able to see it,
right,
but physicality has lagged behind. And, you know, if you mess up some of the programs in your computer, sometimes there's a delay in functioning. In other words, you push erase, and then you have to sit there for an hour, and finally it erases. We just had that with one of the computers. And the reason is there's interference from old programs in there. And so old programs interference, Mother has been working on almost daily. And this is part of what will make us see the changes.
I see.
For instance, 2 days ago, what I remember her putting in, to the Book of Life she no longer writes in, but the Book of the One Life she does write in, which is to change the movie screen, she changes herself. So she wrote in the Book of the One Life that her reptilian brain needed to dump all memories. Only the insights of those memories had to come from the reptilian brain and be passed to her amygdala, where the insights are kept. But constantly, now there's a new program that's been put in there, in that it will only retain that which is. It will not retain that which isn't. So it will not retain in there images of war and things when their real part has been removed, the way the real part of disease or illusion has been removed, even though some may still choose to live it.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
You know, Paul, let's take a quick break. It's starting to be that time, and we'll come back for our next question.
Okay.
Please stay with us, folks. We hope to give you some more information when we return from this commercial break.
Alien continues the exploration begun in her previous books, A Life of Miracles and Journey to the Heart of God, probing further into the nature and meaning of existence. Secrets of the Hidden Realms introduces the readers to the goddess mysteries as they apply not only to individual human lives, but to the cycles of the cosmos. From this background in the intangible functions of being, Almeen is led into the dimensions of non-humans, interacting with creatures previously known only in myth and folklore, the inner relationships of fairies, dragons, gnomes, unicorns, and other elementals, and their influence on humankind is explained. Vivid accounts of encounters with these beings and others existing as expressions of the widely divergent vibrations illustrate the essential unity of all creation. Journeying from these subtle realms, the reader is shown the ultimate expression of humanity, evolution into God-being. Secret of the Hidden Realms can be obtained from Almeen, along with her other books, CDs, workshops, lectures, and magazine by logging on to www.spiritualjourneys.com. After 3 months of intense physical preparation in January 2004, Helmine experienced a transfiguration, entering the presence of the infinite for the second time since moving into God consciousness, the state of no longer identifying with the ego. In 2000, in the weeks that followed, the powerful revelations contained in this book emerged from that all-encompassing silence. Having lost most of her linear thinking during this transition, much of this book had been written without conscious thought. This form of automatic writing, like automatic speaking she now does, flows freely from source into her own handwriting from which it was transcribed. Few have entered into God consciousness, leave the bliss to teach. Still fewer enter the stage of immortal master, and in addition, continue to function among the masses. But as a Toltec Nagual and seer, Helmine's life is dedicated to leading others to complete freedom from mortal boundaries. Journey to the heart of God is an opportunity of a lifetime to see through the eyes of one who has encountered the indescribable realms of eternity. From such a perspective come insights that can heal the deepest wounds of alienation found in human hearts. Journey to the heart of God contains, no matter how profound, truth. Truth that can be recognized for what it is, and it is the truth that shall set us free. Pick up a copy of The Journey to the Heart of God and discover your personal truth and freedom through Helmine's books, CDs, workshops, lectures, and magazine by logging on to www.spiritualjourneys.com.
Welcome back for our last segment, and we hope you've enjoyed the show so far and will join us again next week. Paul? We've got time for, I would think, about two questions.
Okay, well, I think I have two for you. They might be a little bit unclear, but I'm sure we can get something out of them. Before the break, you were talking about how physicality lags behind, and that essentially is why I asked that question about science discovering the subtler components of reality, and just because it feels like there's going to need to be some kind of a huge discovery or a huge event out in the physical world to shift people's consciousness enough for the new age, for the golden age to start happening in the physical. I was just wondering if you had any comment on that.
Well, first of all, to go back to the analogy of the movie screen, it isn't the movie screen itself that's going to change the projector. Those on the movie screen can help hasten the change in the projector by uncovering things in their life, by their own overcomings. But let me explain how this has happened. Mother has created this going to sleep to make creation at the very minute level, for a very specific reason. Her awakening also comes at a very specific pace. So, as her children, how can we contribute to that? By understanding things in our own life, by taking time for deep, meaningful living, from making time every night to look at the lessons our day gave us, to make sure that the day doesn't leave us the same as it found us, that we have grown from our experiences of that day, that we have expressed joyfully somewhere in our day and spontaneously, that our sub-personalities are being lived. You know, the inner child is content. The instinctual, wilder aspect of ourselves has a way to bring in the spontaneous and new potential. Living our life fully. I mean, my life's mission has been mapping it out in the books that have been written, most of them without conscious thought and from a place of total silence. So what I'm trying to say is, as we live to the best of our ability, which is all we can do, we mirror to Mother things that she will remember a little quicker than if she just had to awaken at the usual pace that she had set for herself. In other words, we can bring the future forward by getting things and living with deep introspection. But to make the change on the screen is not going to work. It has to be done at the projector. So why is physicality lagging behind? Physicality has been the pivot point of existence. We went through ages of dark illusion when mother had created her children, she had given them freedom of choice, but she didn't know which parts they were mirroring was her and which parts were not. She was confused because for the first time in existence, she encountered something she was not. Because she's the one being that expresses as the many, she was able to see herself, but they had freedom of choice. Those portions that they lived were not herself. Which ones were they? Those are the ages of illusion when, by turning the unknown into the known through the hard knocks, we did, in fact, solve what mother was for her and what she is not. That happened in August of 2006. So there is a schedule of awakening because there are certain things that have to be explored. When mother put most of her brain, if you will, and most of her heart to sleep, to make herself small enough to relate to us as a projection of her one cell. She did it because she wanted to study the minutiae of existence, the very smallest details of existence. It's like taking a beautiful weaving and separating it out into its detailed threads so you can see exactly how the pattern happened. The weaving is now being put back together again. But it's basically at the projector level where it has to change. So we will argue things away. Great and magnificent things will happen and we will turn right around if we are in left brain and argue them away. In Secrets of the Hidden Realms, I said why I stopped having what other people regard as the miraculous occur in front of students. I said how the most miraculous levitations and all these things were happening, but they would argue it away, or they would fall asleep during that time, or they would forget about it a week later. That is because left brain will argue those big things away. But if it changes at the laws of reality, it just has to filter all the way through.
I see.
Do you understand
wow.
what I said? Or any yes. part that's not clear, okay?
Yes, and you actually answered my second question, which was explain how we can contribute to the change. And you've already done that, so thank you.
Well, you know what is so interesting? All of our consciousness has gone up in the night, all of us. I just also completed the taping of our other show, The Mystical World We Live In, prior to this one. And in each instance, I could hear the questions you were going to ask well in advance of your asking them. This is new. Yeah. See, and the fact that you can feel what I'm feeling, there's a more exponential exchange of information happening.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
So change is happening, and it's at a very, very subtle level. And also, then I will add one more thing in to answer that question of what can we do to hasten a time when life is at its, you know, well, it's never at its most pure because life is a journey. It's not a point of arrival. But let's just continue to explain that how can we contribute to the evolution of life becoming more and more clear and more enhanced. We can focus on the subtle. If we're looking for the big thing to change our world, but at the subtle level from yesterday to today, we have abilities we never had before, and we completely overlook that. It doesn't make it go deeper. People often say to me, you know, I want to do the white magic right now. It's man's birthright. It's incorruptible. I can't use it inappropriately. I want it right now. Yes, but did you practice what was already there? Because it's also unfolding to us like a rose opening. And have you spent the time to perfect those practices that have already been given? You know, in the book of Rupa Sirina, we've been given something by the fairies, their magic. Yet the very photos they allowed me to take is changing in every book we have printed from month to month. Those things that are unreal have become less real and blurry. And the things that are real, like the picture of Mother's crown, have become more and more well-defined. If you look at that same book 6 months from now, the pictures will again have changed. It's symbolic of life. And the Aruba Ferina book gave us little spells. They sound simplistic. But you know what? Unless we use what we have or appreciate the subtle, the grandiose doesn't come. It's time for us to close our show, folks, and we hope you have enjoyed it. Thank you very much for being part of our light family.